It's time once again for Bad Radio Reports, spanning the globe to bring you everything you need to know to survive in our complex and ever-changing world. Ignore it, and you could die. And now, your Bad Radio Reports correspondents, Bob Sturm, Dan McDowell, and...
It's a ticket for rap.
Before reports, allow me to remind you the Hardline will be at P1 night at the UTA men's basketball game today. It's presented by E6 Sportswear, where one lucky P1 will get a chance to shoot a half-court shot for $10,000. And then the ticket and Mike and UTA's own Mike Reiner will be honored at halftime. Donovan, George, and Corby will join the celebration for game tickets and a sweet ABA throwback shirt. Go to the merch store at theticket.com. Now, with today's reports, will be Bob.
Thank you, Dan. So, over the last little while, it feels like when reports come around to me, often I want to do something regarding history, which is a topic I really enjoy. And I think we did the USS Independence not long ago with the passage from Jaws, and we've tackled some historical stories that I just think are really fascinating, to quote Jubb. And this one I discovered by accident. I think I was listening to somebody talk about something, and they referenced a guy named Ernest Shackleton. And because I have some sort of brain problem where you can mention somebody and now suddenly I want to read about him, and then you get off on the rabbit trail, and before long you're reading books about this guy and you're looking for documentaries about this guy. I had never heard of Ernest Shackleton 2 months ago, I don't think. And somebody mentioned to me about Ernest Shackleton's expedition to Antarctica in an effort to get to the South Pole first, which failed.
All right, you were talking about this guy a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes. And then he decided, well, that's been done, but you know what? Nobody's ever crossed Antarctica all the way across. And so you go to the South Pole
and then keep going?
So I gave you a map to kind of give you an idea. Yeah, you dock on one side of the continent, cross right over the South Pole to the other side, and then you would be the first to ever do it. Okay? So this is 1912 when the idea hatches, because the South Pole was not discovered but reached in 1911. So this is what's next, as whatever you're doing at that time, maybe preparing for World War One. He's thinking, I need to get back down there and stake my claim to what is done here. So he's an Englishman, and what drew me in was somebody referencing the classified ad he put in a London paper. Now, people have since looked for this to prove that it actually did appear, or is it just myth and folklore? But according to the historical books that have not been able to be proven, his classified said, men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success. And so he's trying to put together a crew on a boat called the Endurance to go do this. And he needed 28 or so men. 500 answered the classified.
Really?
And he was able to pick 500 people that just were bored with whatever they were doing, cleaning chimneys or whatever you would do for as a living back then, and wanted to go on this adventure of a lifetime to go cross Antarctica on dog sleds. And so 28 men and 69 dogs loaded this boat and sailed from England. I'm going to get tons of the terms wrong, so forgive me on all this, but left England in August of 1914, went to Argentina first. Now, the map I gave you, as a bit of a visual aid, will show South America off to the very left, and then a place called South Georgia, which is a remote island out there in the middle of nowhere. South Georgia is a real place. No humans actually live there, except if they're like whalers or scientists. but there's nobody that actually makes that their home. But that, because of the tides, Dan, and the way the water works down there in what's called the Drake Passage, there are certain ways to navigate what is thought of as the most dangerous seas on the planet, okay? So you have to understand what we're dealing with here. We're talking about a place where below zero is normal and a place where the oceans are just completely out of control. And the waves are huge, and it's just an ugly, ugly place where ships go to die. But why would you be down there? Because there's no humans down there, and it's this part of the world that is largely uninhabited to this very day, okay? So this guy, back in 1914, has a journey with the sole goal of taking dog sleds across a continent that had never been crossed, right?
So it's just as hard to get to that continent is what you're saying.
It's impossible to get down there, which we find in the story, because the trip across Antarctica is never even attempted. That's not the story. The story is, as they arrive in South Georgia at this remote island and then leave on December, they got there November 5th, they leave December 5th because conditions have to be right. And you should also keep in mind, in the Southern Hemisphere, summer is winter and winter is summer. So going in December is actually a perfect time to try to get down there because it's the least frozen of the months. It's the middle of summer in December and January down there, okay, for what it's worth. By December 14th, 9 days later, they get stuck in the ice for the first time. So they're trying to hit land, and they never get there close. They start to get involved with the icebergs and the ice floes to a point where their boat is actually stuck trying to get to the island, okay? They get unstuck because the ocean moves these giant pieces of ice. And then 3 days later, stuck again. Then, a month later, so now we're in mid-January. Keep in mind, they left South Georgia on December 5th. Now we're in mid-January. The landing spot that they found in Antarctica was not to their liking. It was all cliffs. There was no way to land. So they actually said, you know what? Let's not land here. Let's try somewhere else. And they would live to regret that. Because 2 days later, they were stranded by ice floes that just sort of closed in on their boat out at sea. There's so much ice out there, and they were stuck. They were stuck, Dan, for the next month, despite trying to chisel loose. They're stuck in the ocean on these massive, massive bodies of ice, and their boat is just, it looks like it's on land because
so they can see Antarctica, but...
Well, I mean, it depends because the ice now starts moving. We start finding that the ice floes are not, you know, anchored to any body of land, so the ocean decides to move you around, and that makes our story get even more carried away. And by the way, you're definitely going to have some questions that I won't have answers for, but please, by all means, continue to ask. Now we're in February. They abandon the ship and start making the ice around it kind of a campground. They make dogloos, little igloos for dogs. Winter quarters are on the boat, but they have tents, and they're setting up all around because winter is coming. And by March, they have calculated that they have moved 100 miles of drift since being stranded on the ice. So now
really sure about that, right?
Oh, actually, the navigational back then, if you can get the position of the sun and the horizon, they actually had tools that could tell them the longitude and latitude pretty reasonably. So now it's becoming completely dark because winter is nothing but darkness. So all of May, all of June, all of July is completely dark. And during this time, they're still stranded on these ice floes. So they try to occupy their time by getting exercise. They even put on theatrical plays to amuse each other. They would have celebrations for the smallest days. So what are they eating?
Oh, it's just kid stuff.
They're eating a seal. They're eating.
Yeah. What about scurvy? That's what you always hear about.
They were eating nothing but meat, and they would talk about bubble gut, and they would talk about all sorts of dietary problems. I imagine, even though they had rations with them, and they had like meal, I guess not cornmeal, but you know, stuff that would not expire. Yeah. They would have, you know, a good amount.
Non-perishable.
Yes, thank you. Good amount would be on the boat. Unfortunately, by the end of winter, things had frozen so solid. And we're talking minus 15 is not that crazy. Minus 30 in a bad storm. Sometimes minus 50. It's crazy. The ice began to squeeze the boat to a point where the boat is starting to just collapse. Ooh. Now, keep in mind, they're not sailing, but it's kind of their apartments. You know, it's how they protect themselves. And we are now nearly a full year from when they left port, and they're on this ice thing for what is now the eighth straight month.
Like, how much food did they plan to be gone? You know, did they plan to be gone 6 months or?
They needed a ton to cross Antarctica dog sleds, but yes, you're right. Now we're starting to freak out.
And are we eating the dogs yet, or what are we
doing?
Well,
the dogs begin to fall, yes. At some point, they now decide we need to put the dogs down because they're eating too much of our food.
And we're never getting there anyway.
And then they aren't kind of meat, and you know, it's not like seals and so forth, or seal, for that matter. And before long, the ship is abandoned.
Do they actually eat the dogs?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's survival, man. It's crazy. So water is coming in from the pressure of the ice. This is now late October. They abandon the ship. They now take the lifeboats off. They take all the supplies off. And the boat ends up in the ocean. Gone forever. By now, the mission is over. And now we're trying to survive.
So the ice crushed it and it just kind of
splintered, and there's actual footage of it. They actually have photographs and some sort of moving video that it actually captures the boat kind of snapping.
Now, where are they then?
Lifeboats? No, they're on the ice. They're on the ice.
Oh, they're just standing there.
Yeah, there's no open water. That's the thing. There's been no open water for 8 months. It's all ice. It's all part of the ocean.
But they got all their stuff and they brought the food out on the ice?
Yes. So now, a couple lifeboats that are about 22 feet long each, and they will play a major role here in a moment.
Can I stop you real quick?
Yes, sir.
You say minus 15?
Yes.
Do I just have a really skewed idea of how you get frostbite? Because I would imagine it would have started a long time ago.
Yes, this is a major thing. So is trench foot.
What?
And
I don't know what that is.
Trench foot is your foot always being wet.
Right? So, like in World War II.
And before long, I think it's like.
World War I.
And I think it's like gangrene and.
What, fall off?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is not happening yet.
Your foot gets all wrinkly like a grandma foot or something.
Some guys are definitely having massive issues because they have the best weather gear of the day. But think about 100 years ago what that meant. It wasn't great. And so these men are now trying. I mean, a lot of the problem is just occupying your time because you can't go anywhere, but you do wish to keep living. After 3 days, the animals needed to be shot to preserve the food, and the caravan begins with the lifeboats on the sleds because these ice bodies are so long, Dan, that they think maybe if we can walk to the end of the ice, eventually we'll get to open water again, or maybe we'll get to land. Who knows what's on the end of these ice floes? But the ice floes are not flat and easy to navigate, so they marched for 3 days and covered only 2 miles and just gave up. So now the ice is moving 7 miles a day in the ocean. They're now 250 miles from land. They have lifeboats, and a second march begins in mid-December. So now they've been out to sea for 13 months.
What do you mean a second march?
Like they've marched 3 days and made 2 miles and just said, this is stupid. 6 weeks later, they said, no, it's not. Let's try it again. And so they continue on, and they're continuing to hope for the ice to move close enough so they can actually send the lifeboats to land to a place called Elephant Island. The last of the dogs have to be put down, so they've actually had to shoot 69 dogs that were going to help escort them across Antarctica, but now they end up kind of being dinner, or at least stop eating all of our food, and you know, it's really unpleasant. It's the next April now, and finally the ice gets close enough to Elephant Island, and it's 20 below that they're going to make a go of it. These 20-foot boats, they load up all 28 guys, and everybody's still alive. Some are in bad shape, but they're all still alive.
Wow.
And they sail to Elephant Island. It takes several days to make the island, and they also can't find a place to land again because it's all cliffs and it's all unpleasant and there's no human inhabitants of any kind. They get there on April 14th, 1916. So keep in mind, 1916. Think about how long the story is gone. It's 19 months later. Finally, Shackleton says, "We've got to make a go of this with the lifeboats to try to get back to South Georgia. Argentina's closer, but the current doesn't take them to Argentina. They have to go to South Georgia. They have to go 800 miles in a lifeboat."
The original island that they
they
launched from?
On the ridiculousness of the Drake Passage, where some of the waves are, 40 or 50 feet, and you're just trying not to capsize, and this is a lifeboat. This is not meant to cross the Drake Passage. Six men go. Shackleton picks a few guys who he thinks are awesome and a few other guys who he thinks are troublemakers. If I leave these guys behind with the other 22 at Elephant Island, they might cause all sorts of unpleasantness. So you guys are coming with me.
What's the plan? Get there.
He's going to get back to Elephant Island. He's going to get back to South Georgia and find another boat to come rescue everybody else.
Because get a plane, I guess the flight.
No, there was no planes back then, or very few back in 1915 or 16. Definitely not down in that part of the world. Somehow, and by the way, the water is at such a current that if you don't navigate this perfectly, because South Georgia is very small, you miss it, and now you're headed for Africa, and you probably will never live.
If you're on Elephant Island waiting for your six-man crew, how are you able to communicate with them know they're alive?
There's no communication.
You're just going to sit and wait.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Hope is a strategy.
Yes. Thank you for bringing up the ridiculousness of nobody's actually able to talk to each other during this whole thing. So did he make it? Did they die 10 minutes after they left? Should we maintain hope and expect that they're coming back for us? They make it 800 miles, these six men in this 20-foot boat, over the most dangerous waters on Earth in about 17 days.
Wow.
Actually, on PBS, they recreated this with some modern-day guys for the 100th anniversary. You can see it on Amazon Prime.
They went out and did it?
Yeah. They wanted to see if they could repeat Shackleton's deal with the same clothing and so forth, and they were
really?
Yes, they were miserable. Anyway, they get to South Georgia again.
All alive?
All six men are alive. Some are in bad shape, but Shackleton and two other men now have to climb 40 kilometers of mountain range to get to the other side of the island to get to the whaling station to find the 30 men who actually are still on this island. So a 40-kilometer climb through this mountain range where, again, the blizzards and the temperature and everything, and it's just insane to look at
the story. It's like an action movie that never ends.
Right. It keeps going. He finds the whaling station now May 20th, 2016. They round up the other three with
1916.
I beg your pardon.
When did they leave?
August of 1914. So we're talking 18, 20 months, 22 months, whatever it is. Now he gets back to where they started this in South Georgia on this remote island, and he gets another whaling vessel and spends the entire winter, May, June, July, August, trying to get back to Elephant Island where the other 22 guys are waiting to be rescued. August 30th makes it there, and by the time everyone is rescued, by the way, he had to make four different surges to Elephant Island because he kept getting frozen again with the new boat. But this boat was a little more sturdy, I guess. They make it there. Everyone lives. Everyone actually lives to tell about it. Several of these guys live long enough to go back to England to be sent into World War I and to die defending in the big one. Shackleton makes it back to England, but he makes it back in the middle of World War I, so literally nobody cares about what he's just done and this ridiculous story.
Tell this great tale, and they're busy.
He then decides 5 years later, you know what? I want to go back down there and try another expedition. He goes back to South Georgia and dies of a heart attack at the age of 52, where he is currently buried. And it took another 50 years for somebody actually to cross the Antarctic from one side to the other. It happened finally in, I guess, 40 years, 1958.
So he died doing what he loved.
But he is now thought of in, I guess, academic discussions about people that have this type of conversation as one of the greatest leaders history has ever known. He took these people out there. They got into all this trouble, but he made sure that they kept all the men together, kept the morale high, kept everybody safe. And when there was time to go find a way to rescue all these guys, he was front and center on both the lifeboat and then the expedition over the mountains to go get help and then see it all the way through. And that's why I guess in expedition circles, Ernest Shackleton is remembered for being one heck of a leader.
But he really never...
But he didn't accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. Anything. And I think history has, in some ways, forgotten him. Although a news story just this month, Jake, somebody sent me was, I believe people are, scientists are trying to find the Endurance now. Like, they believe they can recover part of the boat that went to the bottom of the ocean down there. I think that's this month in the news, is that they believe they can either raise it or find it or something like that. It's all in the book Endurance. It's a great, great, great read. I can't recommend it enough. But I'm also shocked that as much as I love history, I had no idea the story existed till 2 months ago. And now I wanted to tell you about it. So there is a disjointed, hopefully reasonable edition of Bad Radio Reports.
Yay.
The Shackleton Imperial Transantarctic Expedition. And the book is Endurance, and I highly recommend it.